Just want to add my welcome to Howard's. If you're visiting to with us, it's great to have you. We're going to be having a look at that passage or part of that passage. So if you've got that sheet, it might be good just to keep that in front of you as we just have a little look at what the Bible says. I want to start by asking a question. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in heaven? Back in 2009, a survey was undertaken in the UK by a think tank called Theos, and they interviewed people on a range of things, and one of the things they interviewed them on is, do you believe in heaven? And 55% of people in the UK back in 2009 said that they believed in heaven. So that's a small, but not particularly overwhelming majority of people who believe in heaven. Ex-Beatle John Lennon would definitely not have put himself in that 55% of people who believed in heaven. So he would definitely be in that 45% who didn't. So back in 2012, ITV conducted a survey. I don't know whether you saw it, the nation's favourite number one single. And John Lennon's Imagine came in number six. And in John Lennon's Imagine, you probably know the lyrics, but let me remind you. So John Lennon sang, "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky." I mean, do you agree with John Lennon? We're having this guest service for people who perhaps wouldn't call themselves Christians or followers of Jesus. And so perhaps you think, I'm one of those people, one of those 45% of people who don't believe in heaven. So if you are in that 45% of people who say, well, I'm not sure about heaven, I don't think it really exists, I don't see any evidence for it, then the title for this talk this morning might seem a bit irrelevant to you, or it might just sail over your head. And the title of the talk is, Good People Don't Go to Heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. But if you don't believe in heaven at all, then that title's not particularly relevant to you. So before going into a little bit into looking at what the Bible says, I want to try and give you two reasons if you're someone who doesn't believe in heaven, someone in that 45% of people who perhaps would say, I don't think there's a heaven, agreeing with John Lennon. I want to give you two reasons to maybe reconsider the existence of heaven. So first, I think we all have longings and desires that we find that are not particularly satisfied here on earth. Perhaps we have friendships and jobs and hobbies and marriages which are good, but they do not satisfy those longings deep inside. So even the best friendships let us down. Even the best marriages don't fully satisfy all those longings, all those desires inside of us that we may have. We're still left hungry and thirsty, hungry for a relationship, hungry and thirsty for peace, hungry and thirsty for being full and for being joyful and happy. And this is what one of the arguments that C.S. Lewis, the author of The Lion, The Witch and the Wardrobe, used to say to people, look, why don't you reconsider about this idea of heaven? He said it like this. This is what he said. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger, well, there is such thing as food. A duckling wants to swim, well, there is such thing as water. Men feel sexual desire, well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I wonder whether you've had experience of that. Maybe close friendships have let you down, and even great situations haven't fully and finally satisfied you in your longings. And perhaps that is a pointer. Those longings that are there, there is a pointer towards, well, actually, there might be a heaven that exists. I wonder what you make of that. My second reason, perhaps my more important reason, potentially, is this. Jesus spoke a lot about heaven. So in the Bible, there are four accounts of Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus speaks a lot about heaven. He says there is a heaven to be gained and also a heaven to be missed out on. And the reason we should, I would suggest that we should believe what Jesus said is what happened to him. So 33 years, and then was convicted in a courtroom where he was completely innocent. And then he went out and was killed on a Roman cross. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Now, people don't rise again from the dead 3 days later. It just doesn't happen. It hasn't happened up until Jesus, and hasn't happened since Jesus. People who die normally stay dead. And my argument to you, my suggestion to you, is that because Jesus rose again from the dead, it shows you that he is God. Because Jesus rose again from the dead, having been dead for 3 days, certifiably dead by the Roman soldiers, then that shows him to be God. Now, if that shows him to be God, then we should listen to him when he says, there is a heaven. I've been there, I've come from there, and my rescue mission on earth is to take people from earth after they die and bring them into heaven. Again, I wonder what you make of that. The idea that Jesus, having been resurrected from the dead, says there is a heaven. I think we forget that we can't find Jesus' body. We know where the body of Muhammad is in Saudi Arabia. We know where the bodies of one of the first Buddhas are. But we don't know where Jesus' body is. And the empty tomb and the missing body, maybe that's something you need to think about in terms of who Jesus is. Should I trust him? Should I listen to him when he talks about heaven? So wherever you stand on that, and my hope with those two sorts of reasons at the beginning was to try and persuade you to have another think, if you do not believe in heaven, to have a rethink about your position. So the longings that are not satisfied, and Jesus, the man who claims to be God, and says, look, there is a heaven, and there's a heaven to be won, and a heaven to be missed out on. But wherever you stand on that, I think we can agree, if heaven does exist, and it's as good as we all make it out to be, or as Jesus makes it out to be, then the big question is, who gets into heaven? Who gets into heaven? That's a big question. If it does exist, and it's a great place to be, who gets there? Does everyone get there? Does nobody get there? Do a few people get there? Back in 1992, the REM sang a song, Man on the Moon. I don't know whether you've come across that. And so one of their lines in Man on the Moon is, let's play Twister, let's play Risk. See you in heaven if you make the list. Is it true? Is it true that there is a list of people that are going to go to heaven and those who miss out on heaven? Is it true that there are only certain people who will be in heaven and others won't be? I think it's worth saying at the point that in a sense, REM arise, not everyone's going to heaven. Not everyone will be there at the very end. So there are people who won't be in heaven and people who will be in heaven. And the reason why I think REM arise is because that's what Jesus says. And so we're going to have a look at the only other bit of the Bible we're going to look at today is from a gospel, an account of Jesus' life. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew. And this is chapter 8 and verses 11 to 12. So this is Jesus speaking, and he says this. I say to you that many will come from east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is talking about heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I know there's loads of details there that people might want to get into, but the big idea is that there are two groups. There are people who are going to be in heaven and people who aren't going to be in heaven. And this is Jesus. This is, if he is God, which I would say that he is, he knows all there is to know about heaven. There will be people in heaven and people outside heaven. So who gets in? Who makes the cut? Who's on that list? If you died right now and you found yourself standing before God, would you think that you were going to be welcomed into heaven, or would you be outside of heaven, sent outside of heaven? What would you be at the moment? Where do you think you would be? Perhaps you think that heaven is reserved for good people, and good people go there, and only really bad people like Saddam Hussein or Colonel Gaddafi or whoever, they get excluded from heaven. But generally, the good people go to heaven. And I think that's quite a commonly held view. You know, I come across that as an assistant pastor. I come across that a lot of the time. A while ago, Tom Hanks starred in a film called Road to Perdition. So Tom Hanks generally plays a Liverpool character. In this one, he plays a hitman for an Irish-American gangster in Chicago, as far as I can remember. So the Irish-American gangster is Paul Newman. And initially, he is his hitman, but his son, Paul Newman's son, betrays Tom Hanks. And so Paul Newman and his son is out to get Tom Hanks and his son. And so so there's a scene where Paul Newman's at Mass, and he actually goes down into the crypt of the church to go face-to-face with Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks is saying, "Your son has betrayed you. You know, he is a murderer." And this is what Paul Newman says to Tom Hanks. "There are only murderers in this room. Michael," who's Tom, "Michael, open your eyes. This is the life we chose, the life we lead. And there is only one guarantee. None of us will see heaven." Maybe you remember that if you've seen Road to Perdition. None of us will see heaven. The implication is that Newman and Hanks are crime bosses or hitmen, and people like that just don't go to heaven. Heaven is reserved for good people, people who live nice lives and don't do any of the really bad things. Well, what does God have to say about these things? What does God say? Not Tom Hanks and Paul Newman. What does God say about these things? Do only good people go to heaven? Or do people who are bad, like murderers and mafia bosses, do they get into heaven? Really? Is that what God says? Well, we're going to have a look at some of those verses from that book we read. It's a book called Titus. If you've got that sheet, it should be on the back of your notice sheet. It'd be really helpful for me if you take a look at that as we have a look through it. Just to say that the number three is the chapter number, and the small numbers are the verse numbers, just so that you can follow along. So the bit of the Bible we're looking at was actually a letter. It was a letter written by a guy called Paul, who is one of the most earliest followers of Jesus, and it was written to a guy called Titus, who was a pastor of a church on the island of Crete. And so these are the words that Paul is saying to Titus. And so we're going to have a little look at verse number three. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." So Paul is talking about himself. He's talking about Titus, and he's talking about those people who are followers of Jesus on Crete. And the surprise is, they don't sound very nice, do they? Have a look back down there at verse 3. It says that they were foolish and disobedient. They were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. They were malicious and envious. They hated other people, and other people hated them. They weren't nice people. It doesn't read like that, that these people who are following Jesus, and also Paul, they don't sound nice. But let's keep on reading. Number four. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So verses 4 and 5 tell us that these people, so Paul and Titus and the people on Crete who are saying that they are following Jesus, they have been saved or rescued by God. That's what he's been saying. Now, the basis of that rescue wasn't dependent on how good they were. Did you notice that? He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God didn't rescue them because they were good. God didn't look at people and say, you are a good people, I'm going to rescue you. But he rescued them because of his mercy. That's why he rescued them. Do you see that? Mercy is when God doesn't give us the punishments we deserve. That's what mercy is, when God doesn't give us the punishments that we deserve. The Bible says that we have lived, all of us, including myself, including Howard, everyone at the front, has lived their lives in opposition to God. And whether that is in open hostility to God or just polite disobedience to God, we've all lived our lives in a way which is not pleasing to him. And because of this, you know, God is angry. He made us. He deserves to be obeyed because he made us. He gives us food and family and friends and health. And because he made us and gives us all these things, he should be obeyed. But we don't. We don't obey him. And because of that, he is angry. Maybe you've heard that God is angry and not really understood why. Well, that's the reason why. Imagine a father and a mother and a child, and the child just says, I will not listen to you, and I will not obey you. Well, of course the father and mother is going to be angry if their child does that. They gave life to that child. They house that child. They feed that child. Of course they're going to be angry. So God, instead of bringing the punishment that we deserve, is merciful to us, to those people who follow him. Let me explain mercy this way. I used to live in London, and I had a friend who was a keen cyclist. He was a bit crazy cycling around the centre of London, but there we go. So he was cycling home one night, no lights. By the way, I always have lights when you cycle home at night. And he was cycling home, and he heard, woo, woo, and the police car came along, pulled him aside, and the policeman stepped out and said, excuse me, sir, do you know that you're cycling without any lights? And my friend said, yes, I'm really sorry. I know that my batteries have run out. I'm really sorry about that. And he goes, well, by law, sir, I'm going to have to fine you at least £30 because you're cycling in the dark without any lights. But on this occasion, I'm just going to let it go. Now, that is mercy. Mercy was there when the policeman said, you've done wrong, but I am going to not punish you the way that you should be punished. I'm not going to fine you. And in a similar way, God says, I know you have not lived your lives in complete obedience to me. And so for those people who cry out for mercy, I will show them mercy. I will not punish them in the way they deserve to be punished. Now that is mercy. That is great mercy. So the truth is, good people don't go to heaven. Good people do not go to heaven because they're not good enough. They're just not good enough. The Bible says that God is perfect, and only people who are perfect get to dwell with him in heaven. So unless you've lived a perfect life, then you can't think that your good lives are going to get you into heaven. I don't know about you, but I've done lots of things in my life which I'm ashamed of. And I think to myself, you know, even my own standards, I think I'm quite ashamed of these things that I've done. How low must God's standards be if he says, actually, Jonathan, you can get into heaven? I'm disgusted with myself. Surely God's standard is much higher than mine. You know, we don't want God to allow us into heaven based on a life like mine. I don't know about yourself. Good people don't go to heaven because they're not good enough. So expecting God to allow you into heaven is like dressing up in jeans and white trainers, going to the nightclub and expecting the bouncer to let you in. The thing is, it's not your call to make. It's the nightclub's call to make. The bouncer is going to say, I know you expect to come in, but you're just not coming in. You're just not dressed right. You can't wear white trainers in a nightclub. You can't wear jeans in a nightclub. But, you know, I think I'm good enough. I think these jeans are good enough. And I think these trainers, you know, they're Nike trainers. I'm sorry, sir. You're just not coming in. It's not your call to make. God owns heaven. He has the dress code for heaven, and that's perfection. And none of us, least of all me, none of us has achieved that. And so good people don't go to heaven because they're just not good enough. So how do people get to heaven? So if you think back to Jesus' words, then there are going to be some people who are going to be in heaven. But how do people get there? How do people get into heaven if they're just not good enough? Well, does God just turn a blind eye? What does he do? Well, have a look at number 5 down on that page. God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. As I said, none of us are perfect. We've done all things that are wrong and that we're ashamed of. And these things make us spiritually dirty in front of God. Let me try and illustrate it this way. Our family used to have a dog called Bubbles. Now, in my defense, it was a dog from the pound, so she came with a pre-named, so we didn't call her Bubbles, just in fairness. But when she was on a walk, Bubbles had this slightly nasty habit of, if you've got dogs, maybe you can understand, of just rolling in other dogs' poo, to put it nicely. I don't know why she did it. You know, I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, I don't know why she did it, but she stank. You know, she rolled into this poo, and it's like, makes you want to gag. It's like, she was never coming back in the house like that. And so we used to have a sort of a barbecue sort of bench where you'd sit on. And so we used to put her on there and just hose her down and use some dog shampoo to hose her down. So every time we've done something that's in opposition to God, it's a bit like that we've done a Bubbles. We've rolled around in the dirt, and we're spiritually dirty. We've rolled around in the excrement, and we're spiritually dirty. And to God, it's offensive, just like it was offensive. My dog's smell was offensive to me. To God, it was offensive to him. And just in a similar way is that we wouldn't allow Bubbles back into the house until she was clean. God is not going to let people into heaven until they are clean. And that's what God's Holy Spirit does down in verse 5. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us clean if we cry out to God and ask him to make us clean. But the question is, how does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit make us clean? With Bubbles, we use dog shampoo. What is this, you know, to put it, hopefully not, this isn't too trite, but to put it bluntly, what is the soap that makes us spiritually clean? What is the soap that God uses? And the soap, have a look at verse 6, number 6. Washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes us clean from those spiritually dirty things. At the end of his life, Jesus was convicted for crimes that he didn't commit and was put to death on a cross by the Romans, and he hung there for 3 hours. And what was going on there? He wasn't being punished for things that he had done wrong, because he was innocent. He was perfect. No one could actually lay a claim to him that he'd committed any crime. But what was happening, as Jesus was dying on the cross, God the Father took all the things that we have done wrong and placed them onto Jesus, and then punished Jesus for them. And so the things that we've done wrong, we can be cleansed from those things if we cry out to God, because Jesus has died in our place, taking on himself the punishment that we should have received for those things that we've done wrong. So the result of being made clean is found in verse 7. So that, having been justified, being made in the right, declared to be in the right, in other words, by his grace, by God's grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And that spiritual cleansing is so that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. In other words, having the hope of heaven. That's the people who come into heaven. Not those people who are good enough, but those people who are washed clean, who cry out to God saying, I realize I'm not good enough. I realize the dress code for heaven is perfection, and I just don't meet it. Please wash me clean because of Jesus' death on the cross. That's the people who go to heaven. Not people based on performance, but based on being clean, cleaned by God, by his Holy Spirit. You know what? It's actually quite good news, I think, that people go to heaven not based on their performance, but based on what Jesus has done, based on being washed clean by him, by his death on the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a fan of The Apprentice. And it's halfway through now. And there are only, I don't know, half the candidates still there left. But each week, these candidates are put under so much pressure and so much stress to get through the tasks each week. And at the end of the day, if they don't perform, they're fired. You know, Alan Sugar's big thing, you know, you're fired. And they say, thank you, sir, Alan, and walk out. That's a huge amount of stress. You know, working with Alan Sugar, I'm sure, is a great opportunity. But it doesn't even compare to the offer of heaven. And the good news that good people don't go to heaven, only washed people go to heaven, is that we don't have to put ourselves under that stress of trying to perform to try and earn our way into heaven. Imagine how much stress and pressure it would be. You know, one little slip, one slip of the tongue, one thing that you shouldn't have said that you did say, and that's it. Because obviously the dress code for heaven is perfection. How much stress, how much pressure would be on you if your performance got you into heaven? The great news is getting to heaven doesn't depend on performance. It depends on Jesus having washed us clean from our things we've done wrong. I wonder whether you see that as good news today. Well, thank you for listening so well. Hearing some of these things does mean that we should respond to them. Now, for some of you, these things might be completely new, and maybe you just need a little bit more time just to think these things through, and just to think make up your mind what you think about these things. But perhaps there are people here who've heard these things before, and actually a response is actually quite appropriate. If you're someone who thinks you and God are okay, and that when you die it'll be okay because you've lived a fairly good life, then don't take it from me. Take it from what God says in his word. Good people don't go to heaven. Washed people, forgiven people go to heaven. There is a dress code for heaven, and that's perfection. And if I might say humbly, you're not good enough to get into heaven. I'm not good enough to get into heaven. You need to be washed clean. Or you might be here, you know, and not say that you are a follower of Jesus. You might be here and thinking, well, I know I've done all these things wrong. I know that I've messed up. I feel that myself to be spiritually dirty. God wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot barge pole. I've got no hope of getting into heaven. I know that. You know, would God really have me? Maybe that's what you're saying at the moment. Well, the great news for you that today, getting into heaven doesn't depend on your performance or a blank track record up until now. It depends on Jesus and his death for you to wash you clean of the things that you have done wrong that make you spiritually dirty. That's what it depends on. Isn't that great news? And it doesn't matter whether you're in group one or group two thinking, I'm good enough, or thinking God would never touch me with a barge pole. You may want this washing clean today. You might want to start following Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, now. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to just put up a prayer on the screen. We're just going to read through it, first of all, and then we're going to pray through it. So that if I could have that prayer up on the screen, that'd be great. So this is what we're going to pray in a minute. If you're someone who wouldn't call themselves a follower of Jesus at the moment, but would like to become a follower of Jesus, to follow Jesus and to be clean and to have that hope of heaven, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer in your hearts in a minute. But let me just read through it so that you know what you're praying. It says this: Father in heaven, thank you for your love in sending Jesus to die for the wrong things that make me spiritually dirty. Please forgive me. I want to be washed clean by the Holy Spirit and start following Jesus as my King from now on. Please would you come into my life by your Spirit and help me to live for you as my King from now on. Amen. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask just everyone to close their eyes. If you're someone who wants to have that hope of heaven, realizing that you're not good enough for heaven, then why don't you echo this prayer with me in your hearts, silently in your hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love in sending Jesus to die for the wrong things that make me spiritually dirty. Please forgive me. I want to be washed clean by the Holy Spirit and start following Jesus as my King from now on. Please would you come into my life by your Spirit and help me to live for you as my King from now on. Amen. If you're someone who has prayed that prayer, meant this in your heart, can I say that God has heard that prayer and you have been washed clean from those things that make you spiritually dirty? If you have prayed that prayer, it might be a good thing to talk to someone, maybe a Christian friend who's brought you, or someone you know who's a Christian, and maybe they can point you towards how to grow as a Christian. Perhaps you haven't said, maybe you're quite a long way off from thinking these things through. Can I suggest that if you've got a Christian friend, lay siege to them with your questions. Keep on looking at their lives, how they interact with other Christians, and please do come back to City Church. We love to tell people about Jesus and how he can rescue us and fit us for heaven.